morning. It is time to get up with the beginning of the end. The NBA's biggest stars in epic ones and dones this week. We will set the stage. And should the biggest of them all do the unthinkable tomorrow night? The answer, incredibly, is yes. We will explain. Plus, one voice says trading up for this QB would be a giant mistake. Does our QB agree? You'll find out next as we get up with you starting right now. We are presented by ESPN.
Hey, we are ready to go.
Let's do it.
The NBA regular season behind us and the rest, all the fun is yet to come. The squad is here and ready to go. And a reminder, today is the 128th running of the Boston Marathon. RG3 could have won it easily if he had tried. Robert is up with us early today. He was more of a sprinter, but the marathoners are getting ready to go in Boston. The 128th running, 30,000 runners from 129 countries. Hannah Storm, John Anderson lead our coverage there on ESPN2. We are talking basketball, wasting no time. Let's go. Regular season behind us. We dive into the headlines. In the East, Giannis and the Bucks limp into the playoffs. They lost 8 of their final 11 games. They go in as the 3 seed after sitting at 2 almost all of the year. But on the final day, that seed was stolen by the Knicks, a top 2 seed for the first time in over a decade, winning 5 straight to close the season, including an overtime thriller yesterday to close out the regular season. So where does that leave us? The 7-8 play-in matchup will be decided between the Sixers, who go in winning 8 straight, and the Heat, who of course reached the NBA Finals last year after beginning as an 8 seed. What does it all look like? Let me show it to you right here. The playoff matchups, Celtics and Knicks don't know yet who they'll play. Bucks will play the Pacers. Cavaliers will play the Magic. I have my sheet laminated. So we all know that mine is more important than either of yours.
Well, we don't all walk around with a laminator.
No, right? Exactly.
I mean, what do you want?
I have Jack. He is a human laminator. By the way, quick tip of the cap, Adam Silver and the guys, going into the final day of the season, 15 of the 20 seeds were as yet undetermined. It all got decided yesterday. It was a thrilling day. Legs, what was your number one takeaway from the final day?
Well, just the way, ironically, it turned out. Like, these teams fighting, clawing their way, trying to climb up the board in the Eastern Conference, the Knicks in particular. You go to overtime, you claw out of a fourth-quarter deficit, you win the game, and you might actually be worse off because there's a very good chance you're going to get the Philadelphia 76ers, assuming they beat Miami in the 7-8 game, which I think they will. And right now, for me, Philadelphia represents the biggest threat in the Eastern Conference to the Boston Celtics, if there is such a thing, the way the Boston Celtics have looked this year. I just think when you get into a series and you've got a guy like Embiid or potentially a guy like Jimmy Butler, right, and what they could be capable of in a series, I just think that's a tougher matchup than who you would have gotten at 6.
Alan, I am sitting with a bunch of Knicks fans yesterday watching how this thing plays out. And once Cleveland lost, for anyone who was watching it yesterday, you know the order in which things happen. Every one of them was saying, lose the game. Lose the game, and yet the Knicks won.
19,000 people at the Garden yesterday I was sitting with were all saying the same thing. It was unbelievable the amount of consternation there was about the final shot of regulation. And when DeRozan missed it, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean, oh? Like, you know, like, in this city, Herm Edwards famously said, hello, you play to win the game. So the idea was to get the win, to go into the playoffs playing great. But there is that concern because we all know the history between the Knicks and the Heat if they get there. And then Joel Embiid and the Sixers do loom as a team that is concerning because when he's healthy, they're a really good team. So that's going to be the matchup, one of them. But for the Knicks, it was all about getting into the playoffs, playing as their best basketball of the season, which they're doing right now.
It's such a complicated thing because you want to continue to play well, right, and win games and have momentum and understand how to win close games. That's what you're going to need to do in the postseason. It's just ironic that it turned out the way it did with so much uncertainty going into the last game of the season. Even in the West, too, with Denver not getting the one. Who expected that? Nobody. So now you look at a team like the Lakers. Is that who they're going to get?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just the way it all played out right at the end, it could be unfortunate for the Knicks, but look, they're playing great and give them a lot of credit for finishing second.
We'll get to the Lakers in a minute. I'm old enough to remember when a lot of people thought the Celtics should have tanked on the final day to avoid playing the Brooklyn Nets. And then, you know, 4 games later, they had swept the Nets. So that kind of stuff rarely works. That said, the 3 seed is Milwaukee, and the Bucks go in with about as many questions as a heralded, and I'm not even sure that's not an overstatement for them, but they are a champion a couple of years ago. They go in with about as many questions as you can have.
And for them, falling to the third seed might have been the best thing for them because they do avoid having to play, like we just talked about, the experience to the tough and rugged teams that they would have to face that they're not built for right now. They play a Pacers team, which, by the way, I think Giannis is still looking for his 64-point ball, right? Remember, yeah, they have some history, these two teams.
Right.
But they're also, you know what else they have together? Neither one of them play perimeter defense. Take the over in this series because there's going to be a lot of offense. This will play into what the Pacers want to do. But for the Bucks, if Giannis is not on the floor, do they have enough offense to keep up with the Pacers? Damian Lillard didn't look great in the final couple of games either, and Doc was taking him out of the game, and Lillard was trying to explain, I'm fine, really, I'm fine. But he's got a hip injury as well. Legs, I'm telling you, I don't know if the Bucks will have enough offense in this series, but at least they have a puncher's chance more than they would if they were the two seed.
I agree with that, although I'll say this. I think Indiana could beat Milwaukee if Giannis was fully healthy going into the postseason. The way that they played against him in the regular season and also just their style of play. Milwaukee's the one team that is not going to slow Indiana down. And if Indiana gets humming offensively, Milwaukee is in deep trouble.
Can't
whether
run.
Giannis is 100% or not, they play two bigs a lot, and that is exactly what Indiana picks apart because you've got to run back, and then you've got to funnel out to the three-point line because they take early quick ones. So I think Indiana is in a great spot here to play the Milwaukee Bucks. As Giannis is clearly not 100%. And if he doesn't play at all, you're in great shape. But even if he does, I think the style of play is a problem for Milwaukee.
So that series will begin sometime next weekend. Let's go over to the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and let's give it up for that team, that young group. They clinched the one seed. They are the youngest one seed since seeding began in 1984, nearly 2 years younger than any of the other one seeds have been in the sport. Again, we're going back 40 years of history here, so SGA and the Thunder, a salute to you. The play-in, the 7-8 game is the Pelicans against the Lakers. The 7 seed has a 5-1 record in that game, the lone 8 seed winner being the Hawks last year, which of course came in the East. The other play-in game out West, a matchup between the 9 seed Kings and the 10 seed Warriors. It's a rematch of a first-round series from last year where the Warriors won in 7. But what that basically is telling you is that Steph and company are going to need to win 2 road games just to get into the playoff field. Here's what it looks like. Again, Thunder and Nuggets will face the two teams that come out of there. Timberwolves will take on the Suns. Clippers taking on the Mavericks. So I'm going to say something in duck because I know that it is controversial and I know that it flies in the face of absolutely everything that the spirit of competition was born to create. And you just said, Herman Edwards, you play to win the game. The Lakers should not play tomorrow night. They should not play LeBron. They should not play AD. They do not want to be the 7 seed. You want to be the 8. I'm taking my chances in a one and done at home against either Sacramento or Golden State and go in against the very young OKC Thunder in round 1 instead of going into the buzzsaw that is Denver. I think it is worth the risk.
Everything you said is right except for one thing. You put yourself into a one-off situation. Okay, where you lose one game, you're going home for the summer if you lose that second night, right? This is different with the Knicks. You're talking about win or lose determines your seeding.
Right.
You still have a best of 7 series you're about to go play, right? And the better team will win that series. This is different. Like you lose that game intentionally, you put yourself into a situation where you're playing the winner of the 9-10 and anything could happen. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody gets in foul trouble. Somebody just, D'Angelo Russell goes 1-for-14. Like there's so many things could happen in one game.
Yes.
And you find yourself going home for the summer.
I
think that's a little bit more precarious.
I recognize the risk, but I think life is about assessing risk reward. Is it worth that risk to avoid playing Denver in round 1 or 2? There's no one who can, look, the Nuggets are the one team the Lakers have no chance to beat. Realistically, no chance to beat. And you know who knows that? LeBron James knows that. They got swept by the Nuggets last year. That is a matchup. They are hoping someone else knocks off Denver along the way. To me, Alan, I understand the risk. And if you wind up losing at home Friday night to Sacramento or Golden State, you wind up looking terrible. But I think it is a risk worth taking.
Our good friend Monica McNutt always does retweet because that's exactly how I felt the minute I saw the way things set up. And you point out that they got swept last year in the Western Conference Finals by them. They don't match up well with them. They haven't beat them in 9 games. This goes back to last season. They just cannot beat this team. So you have to look at it in a way, like you're saying, you take a risk on a game. Well, okay, so you win one game to lose the next 4. Like, or you lose a game to win a game. And if your season ends there, it was going to end anyway. Like, you need the better matchup in this case. And if you think of it about it from a franchise perspective, the Lakers have a better chance to actually advance in the playoffs by avoiding the Denver Nuggets, because then you don't have to see them till later. So for me, you look at the Thunder, and you don't want to disrespect them, but you gave a stat that was incredible, and that is their age.
Yeah.
The fact that they are the youngest, number one seed. They have no playoff experience whatsoever, and now they have the weight of expectations as a number one seed. That game one at home, when LeBron comes in with AD, that's going to have a ton of pressure on it. That's the best case situation.
Have we won you over?
There's no debate whether it's in
the
Lakers.
There's a debate.
No, there's no debate whether this is in the long-term best interest.
Is it worth the risk to lose the game Tuesday night?
Yeah, it probably is worth the risk.
You don't think you can beat, no matter who it is, whether it's the Warriors or the Kings?
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously they're going to be favoring a game. All I'm saying is,
home
in a one-game single elimination event, there's all kinds of stuff that's out of your control as a team. Weird things can happen, and now you're going home for the summer. You didn't even play in the postseason when you had a chance to win a game and at least guarantee you're in a best of seven. There's no doubt. I certainly don't think they're beating the Denver Nuggets. They'll probably lose that series in five games if they play Denver. But to not participate in the postseason at all, if you've got a roster with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, which is the risk you would run getting into a one-up. By the way, maybe that's a Steph Curry. Also, that's an X factor if you're the Lakers playing Steph Curry at home. Maybe Curry goes for 45-50 in that game and bounces you too. That's a risk also, and now you're not even participating in
now
the
postseason. Now I'm saving LeBron's legs for a four-game sweep.
Lest anyone be really mad at Alan Hahn and myself, but mostly at Alan, for this take, bear in mind you are in excellent company. For anyone who missed it, over the weekend, Alan Hahn got called out by Ric Flair in what can only be described as the greatest get-up Mad Lib of all time. The legendary Ric Flair called out Alan Hahn for a take on LeBron James. He tweeted, "I'm sorry to report to you, Alan Hahn, that LeBron recorded another triple-double a year after you called him an old man, you stupid..." I'm not going to say it. "It's so embarrassing to have you report about sports. When I see you on Get Up or First Take, I turn the TV off. LeBron, triple-double, the Lakers march on. Woo! So says Ric Flair." What do you say to that, Alan Hahn?
Well, it's funny because, first of all, you know, I was embarrassed when I saw this for him.
No, not for him.
Absolutely for him. First of all, I don't know wrestling that well. I called my friend Peter Rosenberg, and I just said, tell me what's going on with Ric Flair. And he said, look, this guy was so famous, so popular, that they said that you could have him in a broom in a match and people want to watch it.
Correct.
If this is where he is in his career, I'm putting my money on the broom.
No,
first and foremost. Second of all, speaking of brooms, when we had this take, the Lakers were getting swept by the Denver Nuggets. And oh, by the way, LeBron James talks about being old. No one talks about being old more than LeBron James. So give me a break with this. But I'll tell you what, I'll give him a chance. You want to debate this, you want to get into this part of the world, that's fine. Ric Flair, come on, my show today, Bart and Hahn, 12 to 3. You know the number. Bart Scott, you should have you back. He's got mine now.
No way.
You want to get into this game, you want this smoke, you call the show, we'll have it out.
No
Boom!
Way. No way. No way. I'll tell you what, Ric Flair, call my show and we'll destroy Hahn together. That's what we'll do. I'm on Ric Flair's
side. I see
side.
He went full heel.
10 out
full
of 10
heel.
Times.
Greeny went full heel.
Absolutely. Okay.
He's out of the family.
It. I love the random call out.
Ric Flair is right. Coming up, we are 10 days away from the NFL draft, and New York legend has sounded off on what the Giants should not do. You'll hear it. Plus, while I was away, did Tom Brady say he's coming back? Did I miss a meeting? Is this happening? He's comparing himself to Michael Jordan? Oh, don't miss this. It's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN, and in part by Nationwide. All right, we got Hawk and Fowler and RG3 here. Before we get to the football, can we just watch this? Thanasis Antetokounmpo, all alone at the top of the break. And Hawk,
oh,
your thoughts?
God. I'm 5'7", and I used to be able to dunk a basketball.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for this. His low light tape seems to be growing.
Yeah, RG3.
Just saying.
I don't mean to laugh. By the way, there's 30 seconds left in the game, and they're down by 25. So it's not like it decided anything of consequence. But that's, of all the moments that he's had, that was not among the best. That said, RG3, let's get down to business here. We are 10 days and counting to the draft. I want three QB quick reads from you. Number one, is Caleb Williams locked in at the number one pick? Robert.
Yes, Greeny. He's certainly locked in the number one pick. The Bears have shown all signs that he's going to be their guy, and he hasn't said anything to the contrary. Ryan Poles is angry and upset and wants to break the cycle, and I hope they really embrace Caleb Williams for who he is and don't try to change him at a fundamental level. Paint your fingernails if you have to. They've got the guys around him to be successful. Now we'll see if those coaches can really coach in Chicago.
Yeah, he's going to do wonders for the nail spa business in the Windy City. In the meantime, let's go to two. Drake May or Jaden Daniels? What do you think?
Greeny, I'm going for the Washington Commanders. It has to be Jaden Daniels. Listen, both of these guys are extremely talented quarterbacks, both tall and lanky and can grow into their frame. But in every category except for arm strength, Jaden Daniels clears Drake May from pocket presence to arm variability to precision, all of those things. And I want to see Jaden Daniels get a chance to go out there and turn things around for the Washington Commanders.
All right, so we'll get back to that one in a minute with Fowler, but let's then go to J.J. McCarthy. Is he worth a team trading up for in the draft?
Greeny, yes, he is worth trading up for, and it's because he has all the skills to be a franchise quarterback. But when it comes to quarterbacks, the whole organization has to be bought in on that guy and bought in on developing him. So if there's a team out there that says, you know what, J.J.'s our guy, they're going to move up and go get him because that's what happens to quarterbacks that are expected to get drafted in the first round, and J.J. McCarthy is no exception.
No, and I expect it to happen as well, but there is at least one voice who thinks it would be a mistake. The Giants have the sixth pick. They could be one of the teams trading up for McCarthy, but the former Giant, Tiki Barber, isn't convinced.
J.J. McCarthy thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of hearing it. Stop. Stop with the J.J. McCarthy thing. I'm tired. Like, he's not... His film doesn't say he's a first-round quarterback. His film doesn't say, I need to get rid of all my assets and go draft this guy. Because a lot of what he does doesn't translate. The scheme that he ran at Michigan, they were run-based, and he thrived in it because he was good at asking what Jim Harbaugh wanted him to do.
It's he's not at happening. Six. You don't
I'm
want
just
him.
Saying, it's not happening.
You don't want him.
I don't want him.
Okay.
It's not happening.
Okay, there you go. So he's talking about what the film shows. We gave Robert a homework assignment. Give us some J.J. McCarthy film. What did you see?
Listen, J.J. McCarthy is worthy of a top five pick, but I do think that the Giants, if he's there at six, they should take him. I don't think they should move up to get him. But Tiki Barber said he didn't see anything on tape, second, third level throws, or anything that made it seem like J.J. was a first round pick. Well, let's go ahead and run the tape so I can show you guys exactly what is on the tape right here against Ohio State. Watch him scan his number one read, come backside, and then drop an absolute dime in between two defenders. Okay, you want to see some creativity? How about this play against Nebraska? Goes out the back door, finds his receiver in the back of the end zone for a big-time touchdown. If Patrick Mahomes makes that play, everybody's going crazy, right? And then right here, look at him with the diagnosis at the line of scrimmage, picks up the blitz, redirects the protection, play action. Now he finds his tight end down the sideline wide open because of what he did pre-snap. So listen, if Tiki Barber doesn't want a quarterback who's willing to make the right plays, isn't going to make the splash plays just to make them, shows precision, creativity, and that control at the line of scrimmage, then be my guest. But you got to watch the tape. And if you watch it, you'll see all those things pop up.
Hawk.
Listen, I think he's a first-round pick. I think he's a top 10 pick. I think that when you watch his tape, and to RG3's point, you see things that pop out that are reminiscent of guys like Joe Burrow, guys like C.J. Stroud, but it's more on the intangible side. He has incredible poise. He's one of those rare quarterbacks that actually makes better decisions as the pressure gets on. To RG3's point, when he is tight window throwing, it is special. Now, when you look at the top three quarterbacks, though, he is not the developed arm, in my opinion, of a Caleb, of a Daniels, of a May, right? And I think everyone understands that. He's young. He just recently turned 21, and he will be a little bit of a project. He has to work on some of his touch, getting the ball up over those second-level defenders. But when I'm looking at the straight talent, if he's there at six and the Giants need a quarterback, you absolutely take J.J. McCarthy.
So, Fowler, now we turn to you, our insider extraordinaire, because the wheeling and dealing gets very interesting here. What are we hearing?
Greeny, I've now talked to three different teams who tell me that they would be surprised if J.J. McCarthy does not go in the top six. Now, if a team wants to get up there, you got the Giants at six, you got the Vikings are a threat. They've been calling, potentially looking to move up. Raiders, a lot of teams need a quarterback, so there could be some movement around McCarthy. I've talked to multiple scouts who said he had one of the best pro days that they've ever seen. So there's a belief that there is high-level traits here. Not everybody's sold. Some do believe that Tiki Barber is right. There are scouts who say he's not even a first-round pick. Very polarizing, but others that are high on him, you could see some movement.
Very quickly, I want to go back to the first thing Robert said, or one of the first things. Yeah. Jaden Daniels over Drake May. From what you're hearing in Washington, is it leaning that way?
Teams I've talked to do believe that he's the most viable option for Washington and could eventually be the pick. But I talked to somebody in Washington just now who said that they are bringing in Jaden Daniels really in the next day or two. He's going to be inside their building. They're going to talk to him. They're going to talk to Drake May in the building this week. J.J. McCarthy in the building, all top 30 visits. So their work is not done, their board is not set, and they have received calls from other teams about the number two overall pick in this draft process.
What does that mean? Meaning the possibility of moving
out? Meaning they're getting teams that are calling and say, hey, what would it take to get to number two overall? I do not expect the Washington Commanders to move out of that pick. I think they'll select the quarterback. Oof. But there are calls being made right now.
Well, once upon a time, Washington had the second pick in the draft, and they took, that guy right there. They took Robert Griffin in the third. So that worked out, rookie of the year and all that kind of stuff, extraordinarily well. Should they be taking, do you agree with Robert, it should be Jaden Daniels over Drake May?
I like Jaden Daniels. And even back to the Giants point, I think when you're trading up, I don't think the Giants should trade up for a J.J. McCarthy. I think Daniels, May, and Caleb are on a different level with physical traits. It reminds me of the Josh Allen. Right, Daboll went up to get a Josh Allen, and you saw what it did because his physical tools, you knew that there was already ready-bake offense. I don't see that with J.J., with Daniels, absolutely.
Right. Everybody stay where you are. We're 10 days and counting to the draft. We have much more on that as we go. Plus, did I miss a meeting? Is Tom Brady coming back now? I mean, I go away for a couple of days, and all of a sudden Brady is coming out of retirement, comparing himself to MJ. You have to hear it. You will next. Plus, back to the NBA. Could there be a major shakeup in the East? Could Joel Embiid swing the entire thing? We've got all the answers as we continue next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're watching Get Up, presented by ESPN Bet. Before we get back to the playoff picture, my favorite moment from the NBA yesterday is Boban. If he misses two free throws, the opposing Clippers fans get free Chick-fil-A due to a Brickin' for Chicken promotion. So he missed the first, and here comes the second.
Oh, they're pointing to him. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
No, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
What do you guys think of that? Legs, would you have ever missed a foul shot on purpose?
No, I got paid on my percentages. Absolutely not.
I mean, there are chicken everywhere that are angry at Boban right now.
Of all people for that to happen to, I love it. That's Boban.
RG3, I'm told, loved it. RG3, what'd you think of this?
Oh, absolutely love it. Boban has always been the people's champ, so why not give him some chicken and make their night a little bit better?
Absolutely.
Does he get chicken too, at least for the trouble? I mean, he's got to get some of this as well.
I don't know.
He could put a whole chicken in his
mouth. Now, did he miss on purpose, or did he just, like, I mean, like you couldn't
hard
try
to tell.
With him, you'd never know.
That looked pretty legit.
All right. Anyway, Boban, we all thank you.
Yes.
Just for being you. In the meantime, let's get to the NBA playoffs and let's do the season superlatives, okay? It's behind us. Legs, what was the biggest surprise of this NBA season?
It has to be the Oklahoma City Thunder ascending to the one seed in the Western Conference. This is a very, very good team built around a star in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But we talked about their ages repeatedly, also their depth. And this was a team that literally came out of nowhere. I thought they'd be in the hunt probably for that 6-10 spot in the West. And here they are, the number one seed when it's all said and done.
And brilliant season for SGA that we'll talk about. In the meantime, how about the flip side? Alan, what was the biggest disappointment?
I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks started out 30-13, but were miserable. They fired their coach, Adrian Griffin, who they just hired to make Giannis happy. Then they get Doc Rivers in, and all they do is finish the season under 500 with Doc. And on top of it, Dame Lillard, they trade for him to try to be a championship contender. Instead, they got worse defensively. Giannis now hurt, and they look like they could be one and done. Major disappointment.
And then finally, Legs, this is going to be – and I got to get my vote in as soon as they are ready for these. Who's the MVP?
It's going to be very tight, but I think Jokic gets it, his third. I think if Luka Doncic had 10 more games, 7 more, 5 more games, he might have run him down the way that the Mavericks were playing. And I think Luka had the best individual season of any player in the NBA. But I think ultimately that win separation is what's going to do it. 6-7 wins more, I think that's ultimately going to get Jokic's third
MVP. And no consideration to SGA.
Yeah, he's going to get votes. In fact, I think he's going to finish second. My opinion is it would be Luka Doncic.
All right, and then a lot of people are campaigning for Jalen Brunson, who had a magnificent season yesterday, his 36th 30-point game of the year, tied for the most by any Knicks player in franchise history, joining Patrick Ewing and my dad's one-time favorite player, Richie Guerin, in the early 60s. So, Alan, again, you cover that team closely. I mean, for those who weren't paying attention, Jalen Brunson, first-team All-NBA, he's not going to be the MVP of the league, certainly. But first-team All-NBA, I think it has to get some consideration. How do you put into perspective the season he and the Knicks wrapped up yesterday?
He had one of the greatest offensive seasons in the history of the franchise. And I know the franchise hasn't had great success as a team history, but they've had great players come through. Carmelo Anthony being one, Patrick Ewing before him, Bernard King, a great scorer as well in his day, and then back to the championship era teams, and then of course Guerin, who started it all, the first 50-point scorer in franchise history. What he's done though at the point guard position at his size is also something remarkable, because keep in mind, that at the end of January, they lost Julius Randle, their second All-Star on this team. Since Randle went out, he was the primary scorer and the primary focus of everybody's defense. All he did was raise his averages over 30 points a game, over 8 assists per game, and was 21-13 or 21-12 when he played in the games. He has MVP-type numbers and performance this season, and he should be first-team All-Star.
They will get Philly or Milwaukee in round one. Philly or Miami in round one. Who do we like in those series?
Well, look, you don't want to play Philadelphia. That'd be my call. The way that they looked when Embiid came back, and assuming he's fully healthy going into the postseason, you do not want to see the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's got a playoff track record. But Philly would be the team because Joel Embiid is so unique in what you have to do to prepare for him. Do you have the personnel? Do you have the scheme? He's one of the best mid-range jump shooters in the entire league. Miami, they've got the track record of flipping that switch. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think the Knicks would be okay in that series. Philadelphia is the team that you don't want to have to play. I want to make one quick comment on what you guys were saying about the all-league thing.
Yeah.
The problem he's going to run into, and I agree, he should finish fourth in MVP voting. The problem is
SGA and
two
Doncic.
Of the top three are guards.
Now, remember, though, it's positionless now for all-NBA this year. You can have five guards.
You're going to put him on ahead of Giannis?
Yes.
You're going to put him on ahead of Tatum?
How does Giannis' team look at the end of the season, right?
Well, they look bad.
Think about that. So, but you don't have to go two guards, two forwards, one center, or any
right.
of that stuff. Now it's positionless. Can I push back on the Sixers real quick here?
Oh.
Yep.
Because when Embiid was healthy earlier in the season, the Knicks went into Philadelphia and smoked them with Embiid on the floor. Beat them twice in Philadelphia. I don't think they're afraid to go into Philly. Three Villanova guys used to run that town when they were playing in college. They love that arena. So I don't think there's an intimidation factor there at all. And also, they've got three big men that they can throw at Embiid and just get as many bodies on him and see how that knee holds up with that big Donjoy brace and see if he can get through a series, because we've also seen from Embiid in the past, he doesn't always play every game in a series.
If the Philadelphia beats the Heat and they end up playing the Knicks, the winner of the Knicks-Philadelphia series is going to play Boston in the conference finals. That's what's at stake in that series. I agree with you. Knicks aren't going to be afraid to play anybody because of their style of play and their mentality, and they've got a player that can't be limited. Jalen Brunson's going to do his thing every night. There's no scheme, no personnel that affects him. But Philadelphia, if you could take your pick of all those teams, that group of teams, Philadelphia, I think, would be the one team you probably would not want to play.
All right, we'll come back to all of this NBA stuff. But first, Alan, I have to show you something that is going to excite you as much as it has excited me. I show you video from 8:10 a.m. this morning, the first day of the New York Jets first day of the offseason program. And that is one Aaron Rodgers. I will wear that mustache. I will grow. If he promises that he's keeping that, I will do it. I will wear the mustache. If he goes man bun, I'm going man bun. This is it, Alan. No more time for fooling around.
Fully operational Death Star is back. He is also fully committed as well. This is a great sign to see him walking in with a smile, healthy again. We start anew, the honeymoon once again.
You guys do know that every single player on the Commanders walks in first day with the same smile on their face?
Yo, I understand.
That's the way everybody
But they don't have his arm, and they don't have his stats, and they don't have the hopelessness of a Jets fan. This is beautiful. Right here.
Exactly
the
right.
Smile, the teeth, the mustache. Greeny's going to grow a mustache. I'm getting a man bun, and we're going to the Super Bowl.
This is it. I mean, this is finally our time.
Let's
I'm
go,
in.
Baby.
I'm bought in. Aaron, look at him walk. He looks fantastic. Okay, more NFL.
He's walking.
Speaking of old – and well, speaking of old quarterbacks. Okay, so it was Tom Brady goes on the Deep Cut podcast, and he was asked what he would do if some point this season a team called him in the event of an injury. And this is what Tom Brady said.
Somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in an NFL team, but I don't know if I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
What? So Tom Brady's coming back?
He's back, baby.
I was gone for a couple of days. And RG3, talk to me. Tom Brady is coming back? What did we just hear there?
Man, based off what he said, he's not opposed to coming back. And I really do believe that Tom Brady coming back this year would be the best storyline in all of the NFL. Now, he's talking about if somebody goes down late in the year and it's a contender that he can come in and fill in space. But just view it this way. Patrick Mahomes just won his third Super Bowl championship, and everyone believes that he is on the precipice of going and challenging Brady for those 7 rings based off the way that they're set up. Mm-hmm. But now, the man, the myth, the legend of Tom Brady comes back because he doesn't want to allow Patrick Mahomes to get anywhere near his record and tries to extend it to 8. The only man, or should I say, the one who is undefeated against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs decides to come back and give it one more go. And we know what Tom Brady looked like in his last season. He threw for 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, over 4,694 yards. The guy can still play, and I would never doubt Tom Brady. If he says he can come back, I believe him.
Hawk, you made an interesting observation on our call about this morning.
Yeah, I know thousands of former NFL players, and typically the ones who say that they might come back want to come back. Because I can promise you, there is no amount of money you can give me where I would happily say that I'm coming back to the NFL. Now, look, I'm not Tom Brady, and to RG3's point, Tom Brady can still play, and that's the difference. Most guys who still want to play no longer have it physically. His last season, he still would have led the league in passing yards with those stats. He would have been top 10 in touchdown passes. He would have been top 10 in a number of other statistical categories, and he's looking out there, and it does matter to him that Patrick Mahomes is now impeding on his legacy and how we look at the GOAT quarterback. That conversation is getting real. So I think if Tom Brady wants to come back, now I know there's scenarios, you talked about the ownership late in the season, but I think there are teams that he makes better right now if he does return.
Jeremy, I can't believe I'm asking you this question. Should we be expecting Tom Brady to come back and play in the NFL this season?
He does not sound like a guy who's overly excited about his broadcasting career, by the way.
That's right.
Supposed to be in the booth, right? Like, what are we doing?
Right, yeah.
He wants to play.
Right.
I've heard minimal traction about this in NFL circles, and I've talked to several scouts who said, like, he didn't look very motivated 2 years ago. I know he had some numbers that we're talking about, but he looked pretty cooked and had he had no interest in taking hits in the pockets. So we're now talking about 2 years later, he's ready to suit up, so... I don't know. He's supposed to be a part owner of the Raiders eventually.
Well, where are we with that now?
He could just.
He's supposed to be that. He's supposed to be the lead analyst on Fox. He's supposed to be a lot of things.
He's sitting there
getting a haircut.
He's a quarterback.
He's talking about coming back and playing football at the end of the day.
He's going to be 47. I don't know.
Everyone has to. Listen, Robert, he's not talking about showing up in August and going all through training camp. He's talking about someone goes down week 10. Mm-hmm. People were going to call Philip Rivers, and now someone calls him up, the right situation. Robert, you could see him doing it.
100%. I mean, who wouldn't call Tom Brady if their starting quarterback went down and they had a championship team? Imagine if the Jets would have gave Tom Brady a call last year, Greeny. I know you probably would have been jumping for joy. You know, you'd have probably got a new haircut and everything looking like Tom since you guys are talking about man buns and mustaches.
But Tom Brady,
whether they people think in NFL circles that he was afraid to get hit or didn't want to get hit in his last year, they would all call him immediately after he's put this out that he's willing to come back and play. And as Jeremy said, maybe he's not looking forward to that broadcasting career and wants to throw that football around just a little bit more.
We'll see. Do we expect it? No. But no one expected to hear him say that. And there he was saying it. He did not close the door. We have more on this as we go. In the meantime, we will answer the following question. Who is under the most pressure as the NBA playoffs begin? I will give you the definitive answer next. Welcome back. You are watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And so yesterday, the NBA regular season came to a close. Bring on the playoffs. And today's green list is a diverse list of the top 5 people, teams, and others who I believe are under the most pressure as the playoffs begin. I put Jalen Brunson at 5. Let me make it very clear. He had a brilliant season, and nothing will change the way the fans view him. But the reality is, he's a 2-seed whose team now is expected to make a deep run, may have to face Joel Embiid in round 1. And Jalen Brunson, at his size, is going to be expected to carry the load. I can't imagine them winning any game that he isn't brilliant in. That's the definition of pressure. And so I put him on the list. At 4, I put the Clippers stars. Remember them? These guys are there for one reason and one reason only. There was a moment in time this season where it looked like they might be a really interesting pick in the West. That feels like a long time ago. But they have home court advantage in round 1. They've got a lot of guys with a lot to prove. We know what Kawhi's history is in the playoffs. We know what James Harden's history is in the playoffs. Let's keep a close eye on them. Meanwhile, at 3, I'm putting Kevin Durant. His team played its way out of the play-in. Good for them. But the reality is, He didn't get to Phoenix. He didn't orchestrate his way to Phoenix with that collection, particularly Devin Booker, to try and make the playoffs. Kevin Durant could be living in a world where James Harden is still playing when the first round is over. And Kyrie Irving is still playing when the first round is over. And he's watching. That could be a major problem, in my opinion. It's worth keeping an eye on. And number two, I put Doc Rivers. I know you could choose a variety of different people from the cast of characters in Milwaukee. But one way or another, I went with Doc because of the circumstances under which he came in. Leaving the ABC job as he did, so much attention, stepping right into the middle of it to make this team better. Instead, he's made it worse. And the reality is if they get knocked out in round one, I think a lot of fingers get pointed at him. And then finally, the Boston Celtics are number one. I can't remember a time when a team went into the playoffs as prohibitive a favorite to at least make the finals as this one is. But we know the history of disappointment of this group. Should they get picked off anywhere along the way before getting to the finals, it will be about as significant a disappointment as we have seen in the NBA playoffs in a long time, and that adds up to a lot of pressure on all of their stars. So let me bring Legs and Allen into the conversation and see what you think. Timmy Legler, go.
All right, quickly. Love this one. Absolutely 100% nailed it. And as far as Brunson's concerned, I think there's pressure to get out of the first or second round.
Right.
To win it all, no, because there's a much better team in front of him in Eastern Conference.
No, of course.
I don't know if I feel that as much about Brunson.
Here's the reason I say Brunson. Tell me that they're going to win a single game in any series that he doesn't play brilliantly.
No, I agree. Listen, there's
no one has more on them to carry their team, and he's just not the kind of player. What is he, 6'1"? I mean, realistically speaking, we want him shooting threes. Like, this is not a guy who has a history of taking teams deep into the playoffs.
I think he has arrived on the scene to such an extent that he needs to continue this through a postseason and win a series at least. So I agree from that extent. The middle three, I think there's a guy in Milwaukee who's got much more pressure on him than Doc is Damian Lillard. Mm. You brought Damian Lillard in here to help Giannis win a championship. If you've got those two guys on a team, it's championship is expectation. If not, it is a failure, and they are terrible in close games. So, you know, Dame time, he's going to be doing that. But you know what? The bottom line is they have not been good in pressure situations. Lillard has to be the guy to raise his level of play in the postseason to help Giannis, even though, again, Boston is still in front of them. So I think Lillard's got more pressure on him than Doc Rivers. I don't think anybody's got a lot of expectations, Allen, on these two teams. I don't think Durant and the Clipper Stars as much on them.
If I could break this up, I'll tell you, this one right here, replace this with Frank Vogel, because he's going to lose his job if they don't get out of the first round. If they don't make a run, the coach loses his job. Kevin Durant stays where he is.
I understand that Kevin Durant stays where he is. But, Allen, he woke up one morning and decided he didn't want to be in Brooklyn anymore after everything that that organization went through and everything that they did for him. He goes to Phoenix, where they put together a super team. All we talked about all during the offseason was how great – oh, stand by. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrea Carter has entered the room. This is a Stephen A. Smith-esque entrance.
I'm just curious.
Yes.
This is interesting. Celtics, for sure.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yes.
Doc was put in a sticky situation. I don't know what anyone expected him to do with the team.
He didn't get
was already struggling. They were already struggling.
Stand by, if I may.
Go ahead.
He didn't get put in anything. He put himself in this situation. No one said, Doc, you must leave Mike Breen and Doris Burke to go coach Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard. And if they get knocked out in round one, that's going to be a very tough look to get past.
Agree there. I still don't think he's second. I don't think Jalen Brunson has any pressure. They have the fourth best record since January 1st because of him.
Right.
Listen, at Tennessee, I know it's college athletics. At Tennessee, when you walk out to go into a game, you tap this thing that says, I will give my all for Tennessee. Jalen Brunson has given his all for the Knicks. That's all he can do. What more do you expect of him?
I agree with that. And as I said here a minute ago, you were racing nicely enough to run out here and be ready to join us early. It's a different kind of pressure. He's accomplished enough to make himself an NBA star. The problem is, I don't think they win a single game in the playoffs in which he isn't the best player on the floor. And that's a lot of pressure, especially for a guy who has no postseason history of significance.
But what he's done all year.
But he's not going to get crushed if he doesn't do that.
Fair enough.
That's the pressure comes in
a lot of different forms. If they get knocked out in the first round by Philly, it will be a huge disappointing way to cap off what has been a brilliant season. I'm not disagreeing with the point you're making. I'm just making a different one.
He could put up 40 and they could still lose.
By the way, I have zero doubt he's going to be sensational.
That's
in that series,
point.
In any series that he goes beyond that. By the way, one last thing. I think there's one big omission from this list.
No.
Kyrie Irving has to be on this list somewhere.
Yes.
Kyrie Irving has to be on this list.
Because?
Because we know about Luka. Luka's done things in the postseason already, but practically by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving has to be special for that team to make a legitimate run at the West, and I think they're capable of doing that. So there's more focus on Kyrie Irving, because I know what Luka's about to do. Is Kyrie Irving going to show up every night and be great in late games and take pressure off Luka?
And nobody cares about the Clippers, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, someone needs to care about the Clippers.
No, I think you think there's more pressure on Phoenix, even though KD barely played last season. They just put this group together. Then the Clippers? The Clippers have been trying to do this since when? 2019 is when Kawhi and PG joined together?
Pressure on the Clippers is expectations.
Expectations are tempered for them.
There's five people in the building. Like, nobody's really
Here's the pressure that's on KD. I am agreeing with something Legs has been telling. I think we're going to see Kyrie Irving in the Western Conference Finals. And if Kyrie Irving is in the Western Conference Finals and KD is sitting home watching like the rest of us, I think that's a difficult one for him.
We'll talk about this in the next hour, but the Timberwolves are missing from this list.
I think they have no pressure on them. I mean, they've had an unbelievable season.
Karl-Anthony Towns last year on his contract?
Well, if this thing winds up in such a way, who are they playing in the first round again? They got the sixth seed.
Minnesota.
They play Phoenix.
Well, they play
Phoenix in the first round.
And they've lost to Phoenix twice this year. Yeah, it's a tough matchup for them.
A little pressure.
I think Minnesota and OKC go in with lesser expectation than some of the other teams, despite their loftier. All right, well, continue arguing. Andrea raced through makeup and wardrobe to get out here just to yell at me. And we appreciate that. In the meantime.
Missing the Timberwolves.
Should the biggest star of them all. Oh, Andrea. Wait till this. You want to yell at me now. Wait till I tell you what LeBron James needs to do tomorrow night. You're going to be furious, but I'm right, and you'll hear it next.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.